Follow Divine Service Setting 3. It's on page 184 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we say it, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, your Son, God in the flesh for us and for our salvation. Heavenly Father, as you have revealed this deep truth for us, help us also to see your intention for us as we live our lives in you and in your word. Teach us today of your gift of holy matrimony. Teach us the gift of family, and help us to order our minds, our hearts, and our lives according to your holy and precious word. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to give us life and life to the full. Amen. Amen. Hymn 402.
Thank you.
Divine Service, Setting 3, page 184. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the intro appointed for the day.
To give thanks to on high. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from Amos chapter 9. In that day I will raise up the booth of David that is fallen, and repair its breaches, and raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows the seed. The mountain shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak now the gradual appointed for today. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. The second chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Now confess the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, number 408.
Thank you.
Peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from the epistle lesson just read. Thus far, our text. Dear friends in Christ, as Pastor Poppy said in the opening announcements, the season of Epiphany is all about God revealing himself, about God making manifest who he is. This morning, in our gospel lesson, Jesus reveals something about himself. He reveals that God loves marriage, that the Lord rejoices at marriage. I mean, he invented it after all. He declared it good, no, very good in the beginning. God absolutely loves marriage. Jesus reveals that in our gospel lesson. He goes to a wedding ceremony for someone in the town of Cana. You can picture him at that wedding reception, interacting with people in much the same way that you do when you go to a wedding reception. He blesses the wedding with his very presence. He sits with people. He eats with people. He talks with people. He laughs. He swaps stories. And he blesses it with the very best of wines. Jesus loves marriage. He was there in Cana rejoicing in the very good gift that marriage is. It's not just that one spot in Scripture where God reveals his love for marriage. In fact, the Scriptures begin with the gift of marriage in Genesis chapter 2. And throughout all the pages, all the way until the very end of the Scriptures, in the book of Revelation, marriages and weddings happen. In fact, that is the culmination of that last book of the Bible, the great wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end, the heavenly Jerusalem as the bride of Jesus. Perhaps upon all those passages from Genesis to Revelation that talk about marriage, there is none that is more important than the one from our epistle lesson today. In it, St. Paul describes what marriage is. He says it this way: marriage is wives submitting to their husbands, not in servitude, not out of fear, but instead out of love. Submitting in the very same way that all of us submit to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you what our submission to Jesus Christ looks like. Our submission to Jesus Christ is all about receiving the good gifts that he gives: word, sacrament, and rejoicing in them. Our submission to Christ is all about receiving the love that he continually pours out upon us. So St. Paul says it simple. In the same way that we submit to Christ, wives, submit to your husbands. And husbands, well, they have jobs to do as well. Husbands are to love their wives, not as objects or inferior things, but rather in the very same way that Christ loves you. Husbands are to value and cherish their wives, doing every single thing necessary to provide for them, to give them safety, make sure They have all they need. Husbands are to love their wives enough to give all that they have to care for them, to give away every possession, even life itself, if that would mean their wife was well provided for. When the going gets tough for married couples, husbands are to get going in service to their wives. If the need arose, a husband should take the bullet for the family, just as Christ went to the cross for you. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And God rejoices in marriage in such a way that even those who are not married are to rejoice in it. Single people, those who are widowed, children, they are to pray for those who are married, to support them in the difficult tasks of submitting and loving. Single folks are to pray for those who are married, to encourage people who are married to attend church together, to help families keep their children in church, to help them make it through the service, sitting by those who need an extra hand, to help when challenging and difficult times arise. Provide financial support, to share wisdom from their own lives with a couple. Marriage affects every single person here, and God loves marriage. Out of marriage, families spring forth. From those families, our church itself grows, and from families, our society exists. This is God's gift of marriage. That's the way God designed it in the very beginning. It is very good, and God loves it. God gave marriage as a good gift to you, to me, to the world, to Adam and Eve in the garden. Marriage is good. But also in this world is sin. And sin cannot stand for anything good to exist. And so sin corrupts marriage. Even the first marriage between Adam and Eve had problems. Adam did not stand between his wife and Satan. He didn't give of himself to protect her. He didn't even speak a word to her that God spoke to him. He stood idly by as mankind's doom came about. And as for Eve, she did not submit to her husband, but instead she submitted to the lies of Satan when he told her a word that went against God's word. Sin corrupts marriage. Let's just be honest. Dear Christians, marriage is corrupted among us as well. It is so corrupted in our world today that the American Psychological Association says that between 40 and 50% of marriages will end in divorce. Yes, 40 to 50%. Can you think of another institution with a 50% failure rate? Woe to us in our sin. Think of the number of children that affects, the number of families destroyed, the number of people hurt as a result. And terrified by that staggering figure, many today have decided that marriage is in itself old-fashioned and worthless. And so people skip it altogether, living together outside of God's good gift of marriage, living that way for years without the certainty of love and submission that God so graciously provides within the bounds of marriage. Woe to us in our sin. And as a result, our society has exchanged natural relations for those contrary to nature, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Men committing shameless acts with men, or in our technological world, with machines, as you can see in the news. Our society today cannot even tell the difference between a man and a woman, though it ought to be obvious. The physical act of marriage takes place left and right outside of the bonds of marriage. It happens so often that we're not even surprised when single teenagers act like married people. We expect it. We encourage it. We never speak against it. We watch it on our TVs. Woe to us in our sin. In fact, the average age for the beginning of sexual activity has declined to the age of 17 years old. Parents, think about that number. At the same time that age keeps going down year after year, the average age of first marriage has risen to the age of 29. What effect does that have upon our children being raised without both a mother and a father? Where marriage is corrupted, families are hurt, children injured, and all of society is degraded. After all, a functional society is based upon that fundamental building block, a family. Who's the only one benefiting from our sinful teaching on marriage? Lawyers. Litigating what remains. So we grope about in the sinful dark in regards to marriage. We base our understanding of marriage upon what feels right at the time, rather than what God's word says is always right. How can we say that marriage between one man and one woman, when we've come up with so many imaginary genders that we can't even keep track of them? Perhaps what's worst of all, we as a church, as Christians living in this world, have been shamed into silence. More afraid of being called prude or homophobic or backwards than we are afraid of the God who created marriage in the beginning. Christians. Let's be honest. Let's get personal. Let's not pretend like there is a single person in this room who has not sinned in regard to marriage. Let's not pretend like there's not some sitting among us, all of us, in fact, who are not in some way openly desecrating marriage even today. Let's not think that divorce, adultery, pornography, or anything else is only a problem for those outside the church. This church is not full of people who are holy and righteous in themselves. It is full of sinners. Sinners who have corrupted God's word. Even sinners who go against God's good gift of marriage. Repent. Confess. You see, our sin is exactly why God's Son entered the world. He came to suffer, to bleed, and to die for your sin against marriage, to forgive you your sin. The only way your sin could be taken care of was by Christ's work on the cross. That's the only way that marriage could be made holy again. His blood had to cover up the whole mess that we have made marriage. He had to kill the guilt that our sin has attached to God's good gift. He had to pay the price for our sinful actions, thoughts, and words. The gory, gruesome, bloody, dirty death of Jesus was the only thing that could undo all the perversion that our sin has done to God's gift. Jesus was the only way that marriage could be held in honor by us. And you know what? Jesus is a good husband, loved you enough that he was willing to pay the price. He was willing to die for you who are married so that you might be forgiven, to suffer for you who are not yet married so that you could be forgiven. He was willing to give his life for you who support for and pray for those who are married. He gave his all. And in so doing, Jesus has restored holiness, righteousness, and peace between you and God, between husband and wife, between parent and child. Jesus' blood has made marriage holy again. And with forgiveness and holiness between husband and wife, children and families are free to live in God's good gifts. to honor them, to rejoice in them, to be happy in them. That's what Jesus did for you, dear Christian. So repent and leave your sin behind. Stop the sin that you are committing outside the bounds of marriage to the very best of your ability. Look to the forgiveness that Christ freely gives to you and to all the world. Stop condoning others who sin against marriage. Stop looking the other way. Stop being Nebraska nice, living and let live. But kindly speak the truth of what God desires in marriage. Live in God's forgiveness. Stop looking at porn, but rejoice in God's gift. Stop committing adultery, but rejoice in God's gift. Pray for those who are married. Help them, support them. Live always in the mercy of Jesus. And most importantly, remember Paul's words that end our epistle lesson this morning. He says that all of this marriage business isn't really about you alone. It's about Jesus and his bride, the church. You and me, we are the bride of Christ. We freely receive the care, the forgiveness, the blessings of being Jesus' most blessed possession. He loves us. He gives all he has for us, even his own life. He washes us. He cleanses us from all sin and wickedness in the waters of holy baptism. He clothes us with a white robe of garment. He takes us into his home. He loves and provides for us, world without end. He feeds us with his own body and blood so that we may live life to the full. We have eternity in him. And this feast is but a foretaste of the feast that is to come in his kingdom, the wedding feast of Jesus, where the wine will not run out, where the feast will not grow cold or moldy, where the blessings of God will ever be near, forever and ever without end. That is the true wedding, Jesus and us, the church, Christ and his beloved, you. And so we live like the bride who is loved by her husband. We submit to the gifts Christ gives, receiving them with joy. We rejoice that Jesus feeds us with forgiveness of sins. We're glad that he's washed away all that previously had muddied our lives. And in submission to him, we live a holy life in the righteousness he earned on the cross. In submission to Jesus, we let marriage, God's good gift, be held in honor by us all. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Time we continue by singing together the offertory, page 192. Please stand.
Our Lord, have mercy on us. Our Lord, have mercy on us.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. At this time, we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or throughout the world on the internet. We pray that God's good gift of marriage and a bridegroom, Christ, who gives his life for us, the bride, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Prayers of the church, please stand as you're able. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, all the earth worships you and sings praises to you. Fill us, your baptized children, with your Holy Spirit, that we might cling in faith to Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, and receive from him the divine gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which he lovingly delivers to us in the Cana of his holy church, from the font, pulpit, and altar. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, we give you humble thanks for instituting the estate of holy marriage and for the blessings of families. Grant that these gifts would be cherished and honored in our society, and especially within the household of faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, you provide for all our needs of both body and soul. From your bountiful goodness, we receive our daily bread. Create in us grateful hearts to receive all that you provide with thanksgiving to the praise of your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, grant wisdom to all who are in authority over us at the federal, state, and local levels. Supply them with your blessings that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. Bless all those in the armed forces, that they would serve with integrity and honor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, behold with tender mercy all those who are sick or suffering at this time, especially Kim, Harlan, Laverne, Mark, Megan, Irma, Shirley, Denise, Jared, Louise, Bryn, Lucas, Victor, Matthew, Lori, Leo, Lois, Bob, and all those that we remember in our hearts, that they would know the consolation of your love in Christ Jesus and be strengthened to endure. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, you alone make the decisions concerning life and death. We ask you to show mercy to your servant, Al Bach, whose death seems imminent. If it be your gracious will, restore him and lengthen his earthly life. But if not, keep him in his baptismal grace and in your abiding care. Give him a repentant heart, firm faith, and a lively hope. Let not the fear of death cause him to waver in confidence and trust. At your chosen time, grant him a peaceful departure and a joyous entrance into everlasting life with the glorious company of all your saints. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the holy altar this day, that they may receive the holy sacrament of Christ's very body and blood in repentance and faith and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal God, keep us in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, that together with all your saints of every time and place, we may enjoy the marriage feast of the Lamb in Christ's kingdom, which has no end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Now depart to God's peace and enjoy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Thank you.
forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins.
Welcome to the Lord's table.
Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin.
Body of Christ.
Now depart in God's peace and enjoy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, the Common Doxology. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the bridegroom who lays down his life for sinners like you and me. Thanks be to God. I encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Several inserts as well. Check those out. Starting next Sunday, we've got National Lutheran Schools Week. We've got a congregational voters meeting coming up on the 29th. The big activity that we have coming up is the pancake feed, Pancakes for PCAN, Pediatric Cancer Action Network, a great organization to help, encourage, and support. Sign up sheet there. We need volunteers before, during, and after that event. This last fall, we had a fundraiser as a part of one of our Advent meals for the church in Venezuela. And our member Ramon is very connected down there. A lot of his family are there. He's put together kind of a collage of the members of the church where we sent our encouragement and support. Check that out. Put a name and a face with our encouragement and financial support is always kind of a special thing as well. All invited for coffee and goodies. We've got two opportunities for Bible study. Continue our study of the book of Romans in the Fellowship Hall. Room 109, Summary of Christian Doctrine. What are we studying today, Pastor?
Baptism.
Baptism. Are we for it or again it?
Well, we're for it.
Yeah, okay. All right, very good. Thanks be to God. God's gift of baptism. That's in room 109. There's information, things are moving forward with our much-needed pictorial directory, so you'll see that information. There's a big handout kind of thing in there, so check that out. Anything else you want to add on that?
If anyone is willing to help organize and get together the school auction for this year, we're running a little behind on that. If you're interested in helping, let me know, and we'll make sure to get you in touch with the right people for that.
Okay, Vicar? Very good. Please join us for coffee and goodies and a study of God's Word. Have a great day and week in Jesus.